Welcome to Fronteras, a program about issues along the U.S.-Mexico border and changing demographics in the Southwest. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. There are two narratives of the border. If you don't live on the border, it's a story of crime, cartels, murder, drugs, illegal immigration, and migrant tent camps. If you live on the border, it's family, friends, school, shopping, food, culture, basically everyday life. That's the narrative that never gets told. Writer Oscar Cáceres and photographer Joel Salcido are borderlanders, fronterizos, from both ends of the Texas border. In 2019, they collaborated to write about and photograph life on the border. They started in Salcido's hometown of El Paso and followed the river to the Rio Grande Valley, where Cáceres grew up. The result was originally published in Texas Monthly in August 2019 under the headline Postcards from the Border. That work is being resurrected in a new collaboration that will pair Joel's images and Oscar's words with music. We'll hear more about that project in the second half of the show. Cáceres says he and Salcido wanted to share a view of the border that wasn't being reflected in the media.
It wasn't so much that it was that what we were seeing was fake news, but it was sort of half news. It was not the complete story of the richness and the culture and just diversity that you find if you've grown up there and you have deep roots in the border region. And so we felt like there had to be a way of showing that other narrative of the border. And that's really what we sought out to document. You know, there were plenty of these other, unfortunately, generally speaking, very sad and challenging stories of the border region. And those are based in reality, but they're not the complete story. And so our job was to go out and try to tell that other story that simply wasn't being told and do it through Joel's images and then through the narrative that I was going to write to accompany those images. The concept that I pitched to Texas Monthly was that I was essentially going to write these postcards to my daughter. It was in part because we had this ongoing discussion where she claims that I am obsessed with the border. And you might be able to tell, you know, if I've been having this ongoing conversation with Joel and God knows how many other people about the border, basically since I left the border, that's all I've talked about. I left the border as my permanent residence in 1985, and I don't think I've stopped talking about it since then. So yeah, there is a part of me that is obsessed with the border, but that obsession, again, is tied back to this idea that the story is not complete. The story is been watered down, has been sensationalized. You know, I think the national media in particular will focus on the border when there is some tragedy and rarely when there is just life as we know it, as we have known it for generations and generations. And, you know, both of us have family that have been there forever. My family in South Texas has been there since the mid-1800s. And so we have a different sense of what living there is about. And so, again, the project was, how do we capture that in images and then hopefully in words as well?
Well, full disclosure, there are three of us on this call who are from the border. I, like Joel, I'm from El Paso. I just moved here to San Antonio about 4 years ago. So I can absolutely attest to what you're saying. It's true. You leave the border, you become obsessed with the border. And Joel, I was wondering, you know, when I left El Paso to come down here, I never really got to explore a whole lot of Texas. And when I visited Brownsville for the first time, it was so different. When I saw Laredo for the first time, it was so different. So, you know, you have this one narrative of the border that Oscar was talking about. And Joel, people living on the border, really, if they haven't seen the rest of it, they're really also unaware of what everyday life is beyond that one single narrative.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, that's kind of where Oscar and I just kind of connected at the level of our backgrounds, both being from the border, but I did a lot of stories for Texas Highways Magazine early 2004, thereabouts. And I spent a lot of time in the valley, which I really hadn't been exposed to. And during those visits, I realized I got a different perspective of what that borderland looked like compared to what you and I know in El Paso. But what I sense, and I may be wrong, and I hope I don't offend anybody, but growing up in El Paso, it seemed more urbanized, more industrialized. Let's call it industrial background, and in some ways, military. Whereas the way I perceived the valley was more of an agricultural, and I'll call it rancheria culture, like rancho culture. And I saw the two contrasts, and even in verbal communication, you know, they use a lot of the hombre, you know, in the valley. But in spite of those interesting differences, there's obviously a lot of overlap in the gente. And that's the beauty of everything you see along the border. And I think that's what's interesting about Oscar and myself is that in spite that we grew up in opposite corners of the state or the river, there's still huge overlap and we compare notes all the time. Again, I did 10 years at the El Paso Times, so I got to know Juarez and El Paso very, very intimate. And as a photojournalist, you're in the trenches. You experience a lot of the daily life on the border at a very, very intimate level. And I've always saw, or I always noticed, or was very sensitive, including, you know, what my extended family experienced in Juarez, is that they always got the negative slant on their life. You know, they never got a break in terms of fair representation. And I was guilty of it working in El Paso Times, where you gravitated always to the negative. And we know, and we can't deny that negative, that, you know, the narco world and all that. We can't deny that reality. But the flip side, there's a whole different reality that I grew up with and that I find incredibly endearing and very rich on both sides of the border. And that's what I felt that particular sensibility or representation of the friends and family that we have on the border had not been told.
Oscar Cáceres is a writer and novelist living in Austin, and Joel Salcido is a freelance photographer originally from El Paso. When we come back, Oscar and Joel's words and images are set to music.
And we thought adding music to these really, really poignant statements about the border would be just one extra way to bring the meaning, the simplicity, the beauty, the complex nature of the border to more audiences.
Our conversation continues next on Fronteras. Welcome back to Fronteras. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. The 2019 Texas Monthly article, Postcards from the Border, featured photographs from El Paso native Joel Salcido and writer and novelist Oscar Cáceres. The article was written in the form of letters to Cáceres' daughter, sharing the sights and sounds he experienced while he was traveling the length of the Rio Grande from El Paso to Brownsville. One of the characters he wrote to his daughter about was a woman named Amalia.
Her dad wanted her to be a boy and treated her like a boy, which sometimes made things tough for her. But later, when she started performing, she decided to cross another border, one that was inside of herself. Because on the other side, she could pretend to be a boy, or a man, really, and she could do it her way.
That's an excerpt from an upcoming production featuring the words of Oscar Cáceres, photography by Joel Salcido, and music performed by the Agarita Chamber Players. The collaboration is based on the Texas Monthly article. Today, we're talking with Cáceres, Salcido, and Marisa Bushman, executive director of and violist with Agarita. Bushman explains why Agarita was keen to shine a spotlight on the border in San Antonio through music, photos, and the spoken word.
We are a city that is so diverse, and we felt after talking about Postcards from the Border, this would be the perfect collaboration for us really to embark upon. You know, we already had the written and visual aspects, and we thought adding music to these really, really poignant statements about the border would be just one extra way to bring, the meaning, the simplicity, the beauty, the complex nature of the border to more audiences, and also people that are maybe classical music lovers that weren't aware of their phenomenal collaboration with Postcards from the Border.
Well, Joelle, can you tell us about some of the images that are going to be featured in this collaboration with Agorita?
Sure. I mean, I guess the star image is one we did in Ojinaga. It's a river shot where there's a family playing in the middle of the river. And I don't know, Norma, if you recall, but I recall that scene in El Paso.
Oh, yeah.
Prior to the wall, prior to all that, where families would gather and they just have a grand time playing either by the river or physically inside the river. And all of that's pretty much gone in the El Paso area. So when I saw it downriver, it was just absolutely nostalgic. You see that? It's also very symbolic in terms of these children, obviously Mexican children, in the middle of the river, carefree without having to, without the understanding of whether they're Mexican or American. They're just humans enjoying nature in the middle, smack in the middle of an international border, without the politics and the agenda of those politics, which I thought was very, very beautiful and symbolic. That's one image. And the other one that's really strong was the African family that we encountered in, I believe that was Ciudad Acuña, right?
Yeah.
That particular encounter was just, for me, it was an incredible, powerful statement as to human migration. You know, we're always on the move. And the inherent desire, you know, for most people, immigrants, is to improve your life. And the capacity that this Congolese family, what level of intensity do you want to pursue your chase in a better life? So the resiliency and the intelligence and the stamina and the drive for a better life is just incredibly powerful in my mind. So, and then the last image I'll speak about that I really, really enjoyed, it's a panaderia in Bronzeville. You know, it's just so classic border life. This guy just shows up in a bike, parks the bike in the front of the panaderia, classical font on the front of the panaderia, and goes in and buys his bread. I mean, that's the kind of, I think, border iconic lifestyle that is slowly disappearing, but it's still there. And it's representative, again, of who we are, because obviously we like our pan dulce, right? Anyway, but it's the little things like that I thought, for me as a photographer, very gratifying. And I think those are the strongest images that come to mind. There's others, but those are, for me, the most personal.
Just to sort of recap for our listeners who can't really see the photos right now as they're listening to our conversation, of course, you were talking about the Central African family on the street. And we need to point out, they came such a long way, but the father was holding a bottle of Windex and his son was holding a plastic bag and he was also holding a styrofoam cup for change. So they're looking sort of off into the distance, off to the side of the street. And you can see that despite the struggles that he's probably gone through to get to where he is, he's got that pride. And another one I thought that was really terrific was one that you took of an accordion player. Well, he was actually, I believe, a teacher. He taught conjunto to a bunch of students who probably would never have known about conjunto unless maybe they hang out with their families on el rancho, maybe their abuelitas or playing the songs in the background. But the photo I thought was really striking because it almost looks like he's in heaven because just the way that the shot is angled up towards him and you see sort of this beautiful blue sky with these puffy white clouds and his accordion is out. It almost looks like a wing. Your photos are absolutely fantastic. And I want to get back to Marisa. How did you decide to pair these photos from Joel and these words written in letter form to his daughter from Oscar? How did you manage to pair them with particular pieces of music?
Well, I think a great example would be this fantastic picture of this woman named Amalia, and she has an alter ego. And she sings in both English and Spanish, and she also cross-dresses. So she dresses as a man when she is Tesoro, and a woman as Amalia. And that picture was perfect for this piece by Guastavino, Pampa Mapa, that we decided to pair with it. In our collaboration, we had the pitcher right behind us, and Daniel's playing the piano, Sarah's on the left-hand side, Ignacio's on the right, and the pitcher is Amalia on the left and Tesoro on the right. And essentially, the Guastavino is this beautiful, beautiful song originally by the Argentinian composer. It's filled with determination and passion, and the lyrics convey a sense of finding a new path and finding strength and conviction in one's choices and identity. And what we did is we had Sarah play the first verse in, you know, the soprano register of the violin, and then we play the second verse, which is the same notes, different lyrics in the song, but the same notes, but on the cello. So we were able to really convey, you know, her two alter egos, but the same unity of who she is and how she's expressing herself.
And so, Oscar, did you have any say into how your words and how the photos were being paired with music? How did you approach that?
Well, we had some really long conversations as we were understanding sort of the form that the program would take. The one that sticks out to me the most, and it was really one of the more, I think, challenging for the group, was the final one, which is the one you just mentioned, Norma, with the conjunto instructor. Somewhere along the line, I think we had thought, well, how do we get maybe some piece of music that echoes some of what I'm reading and what we're seeing? And they were able to find this piece of music, and you may be able to add more to this, Marisa, that had this sort of waltz or polka feel. I mean, one of the things we talked about in our discussions was, you know, when we talk about conjunto and we talk about the accordion, well, we have to remember that all of that came to this country from Europe. And so was there a way that we could bridge that sort of time gap between the two, between what we had grown up listening to and where the music had originated?
Our artistic director, Daniel Anastasio, had a really great time communicating with Joel and Oscar about all this. And, you know, we're trying to figure out, wow, this conjunto postcard was really, really powerful, as well as the images paired with it. And as a classical music group, of course, we always try and go outside of our comfort zone, but we're very careful about appropriating any music that's not true to ourselves or that we're not necessarily taught how to play. So we started with a conjunto piece, Ay Te Dejo en San Antonio, a Flaco Jimenez piece, kind of in a nostalgic way, almost as if it's a memory on the piano only. And then we kind of segued into Red Rose and Dead Rose, which is a really beautiful waltz. It's actually a melody that Brahms used. It's a lullaby. And then we go into a polka by Strauss, and then also a piece by Shostakovich, a lyric waltz. So we had this really fun time creating the transitions behind it and kind of trying to trace the roots of conjunto while still leaving it in its truest form as a piano quartet could play it. That was a really meaningful and challenging medley for us to put together. And sometimes, you know, the things that are least expected or most challenging for you as a group end up being the most rewarding. So that will be our finale for our concert.
So tell us a little bit about this concert.
So the cases, when we were planning this, they were just too high for us to consider having a socially distanced audience. So we decided to pre-record this, and also we realized that we'll be reaching many more people this way as well. The Mexican Cultural Institute here in Hemisphere Park in San Antonio was gracious enough to sponsor this concert and let us film it inside of it. We are going to be airing it on agorita.org and on our Facebook page on Saturday, February 27th at 7 p.m. Central Time. So if you don't make it for the concert, we will be keeping it up on our website for a few more days as well, so people have a chance to go back and see it for a first time or revisit some of their favorite moments of it.
We've been joined by Marisa Bushman, Executive Director of and Violist with San Antonio's Agorita Chamber Players. Oscar Casares is a writer and novelist. Joel Salcido is a freelance photographer who's worked at the El Paso Times. Again, the Agorita's collaboration with Casares and Salcido streams live Saturday, February 27th at 7 p.m. Central at agorita.org, agorita.org. It'll remain online for a few days afterward. See a preview clip of the performance at tpr.org. Thanks for joining us this week on Fronteras. You can find the show online at tpr.org and wherever you get your podcasts. Fronteras is produced by Norma Martinez and Lauren Terrazas. Our executive producer is Dan Katz. Our digital content producer is Brie Kirkham. Our editor is Fernando Ortiz Jr. Charanga Cakewalk composed our theme music. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio.